Romans 13. Today we are talking about the flesh. So if you're alive and you're a Christian, you have a battle that you face every day. It's a battle with the flesh, a battle with the old man, isn't it? And God addresses that for us here in Romans chapter 13. And we'll look at verses 11 to 14 in Romans 13. God says, "And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof." So our title is "Make Not Provision for the Flesh." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for the privilege of assembling without fear of any retribution. We thank you for the word that you've preserved for us and that we hold in our hands. Thank you for the Holy Spirit that has indwelt us and will guide us into all truth. Thank you for Jesus who died and rose again that we might have eternal life. We come to you now, Lord, with open hearts to hear from you, Lord, to be changed by you, maybe even to be saved by you, Lord, if there's someone here today not yet saved. But have your will in every heart, guide us in your truth, and be honored through our service. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So Paul starts off by reminding us that we are at the end. We are at the end of an age. We are at the end times. He says there in verse 12, "Therefore." So we need to understand what that means. Why is he saying it? "Therefore, I want you to do these following things," which we're going to focus on this morning. Therefore, why? First of all, knowing it's time to wake up. Verse 11, "Knowing the time that now is the high time to awake out of sleep." So many Christians today are asleep. They're not serving God. They're not faithful to church. They don't read their Bibles. They don't pray. They're spiritually asleep. And they're not ready for Jesus to come back and take them. If you look at 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 6, God makes it very clear that he wants his children awake. Awake and serving. 1 Thessalonians, look at chapter 5 and verse 6. He says, "Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation." God is speaking to us as his children. He says, "Wake up. We are at the end. Time is short. Don't sleep your way to heaven. Work your way to heaven." Look at Mark chapter 13 quickly, verse 35. Jesus here telling a parable about his return. Mark chapter 13 and verse 35. He says, "Watch ye therefore," Mark 13, 35, "for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping." He says, we don't know when Jesus is coming back. We don't know the day. We don't know the week. We don't know the year. We don't even know what time of day. He says, so you got to be ready all the time. And what he doesn't want is to come back and find us sleeping. And that's what this is telling us here in Romans 13. It's high time to awake out of sleep. Back to our passage. our salvation is nearer than when we believed. It means the completion of our salvation, getting a new body, being in heaven with the Lord. It's close. Hallelujah. Verse 12, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. You know, we're told in Ephesians 5, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. We live in an evil day, don't we? What should our response be to that? Should it be to throw up our hands and be despondent about it and say, that's it, fatalistic? No. He says, because the day is at hand, because it's high time, what does he say? Awake. Get to work. Redeem the time. Because Jesus could come back today. So be ready. So based on that, based on knowing that we're at the end times, based on knowing that at any moment Jesus could come back, verse 12, let us therefore, that's what he's pointing back to, saying because we're at the end, because we only have so much time left to serve Jesus, therefore, I want you to do three things. Let's talk about those three things this morning. Number one, cast off. Knowing that Jesus would come at any moment, number one, cast off. Cast off what? The works of darkness. Stop serving the flesh, stop serving sin, and cast them off. Cast off the works of darkness. Look at Ephesians 2:2, if you would. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2. So much time is wasted on the works of darkness. And Christians need to stop and realize God is important enough in our lives to cast some things off. Amen? Just get rid of them. Ephesians 2:2, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Among whom also we had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. He's saying before you got saved, you just did what your nature told you to do. We were children of the devil. We just served the flesh. He says now we're children of God. The flesh has been crucified. The flesh is dead. Stop serving the flesh. Cast off the works of darkness. Cast off the old man. Look, if you would, at Colossians 3:9, just to the right, two books from Ephesians. Colossians chapter 3, verse 9. Lie not one to another, seeing ye have put off the old man with his deeds. Notice it's one thing to say he's crucified. It's another thing to cast off his deeds. Whose deeds? The old man. That's what we're told to cast off. The works of darkness. What the old man wants to do in our life, he says, get rid of them. Cast them off. The old man and his deeds. And so the first thing he's telling us here, knowing that we're at the end, knowing that we only have so much time left, we've got some things to cast off. So cast them off. He goes on to say in verse 12, let us put on the armor of light, which we're going to talk about in a moment. But notice some of the things that we're to cast off. Verse 13, walk honestly as in the day. Walking implying we're going somewhere, of course. Not in, and then he lists some things here, rioting, which in the old English means partying. It doesn't mean throwing rocks at the police. But partying, drunkenness, I don't need to explain that one. Chambering, which means sexual promiscuity. Wantonness, which means lust. Strife, which means contention. And envying, I don't think I need to explain that one either. These are some of the things he wants us to cast off. Amen? Cast them off. Cast off these works of darkness. So that's number one. Knowing that you're at the end, I want you to cast off all this old man stuff. Get rid of it. Number two, I want you to put on, verse 12, the armor of light, verse 14, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to put some things on. I want you to wear them. And the first thing I want you to wear is the armor. Now, we don't have time. That would be a whole separate message to go through the armor of Ephesians chapter 6. You're all familiar with the passage, put on the armor of God. But in that list, and you can go study it at home, there are seven things. It's not surprising that there's seven, is it? Seven things that make up the armor of God. The first thing is the truth, which is the Word of God. That's defensive. In other words, it protects us as we make it part of our life, right? As we memorize it, as we study it, as we meditate in it. Second thing is righteousness, living a godly life. Third thing is the gospel. That's obvious. He wants us to share the gospel. The fourth thing is faith, trusting the Lord. The fifth thing is salvation. What he means there is having the assurance of our salvation. The sixth thing is the Word of God again. So how can the Word of God be there twice? Well, because it's both defensive and offensive. So the first Word of God is we need to make it part of our lives to protect us. But the second is the sword. Now it's an offensive weapon. That's how we battle the devil, isn't it? Is we use that sword of the Spirit. And then the last thing, which is also our second offensive weapon, is praying always. Prayer. So that's the armor of God broken down into seven things. Truth, righteousness, the gospel, faith, salvation, the sword of the Spirit, and prayer. Put that on, he says, but also, verse 14, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. So he's already told us to cast off the works of darkness. We're told to put off the old man. Well, we got to replace him with something, right? And that's the new man. Put off the old, put on the new. That's pretty simple, isn't it? If only it were simple. It is not. But put on the new man, put off the old man, the new man. Let's look at it, Ephesians 4:24. What does that mean? Well, it means that when we got saved, the Holy Spirit moved in. He saved our spirit, gave it life. And God wants us now to walk in Him. That's what it means to be filled with the Spirit. That's what it means to walk in the Spirit. The Bible says, walk in the Spirit, Galatians 5:16, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. God says, stop walking in the old man, get rid of him, cast off his works, cast off his deeds, put on the new man, walk in the new man. Look at Ephesians 4:24, that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Look at Colossians 3:10. We'll see it again. Colossians chapter 3, verse 10. Since God is telling us to do this, two things. Number one, it's obviously possible. I can't tell you how many times I've heard Christians say, I just can't do it. I can't walk in the Spirit. Well, if God told you to, then you can. With His help, of course. Don't tell God you can't do something that He told you to do. Colossians 3:10, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Put him on. Every day. God says, cast off the works of darkness, put on the armor, and put on Jesus. Amen? How do I do that? Well, you need to spend that time in prayer, making sure that you've put on all seven pieces of the armor. Making sure that you are now yielded to the Spirit of God. That's what it means to be walk in the Spirit of God. Be filled with the Spirit, we're told in Ephesians chapter 5. Be filled with the Spirit. Let the Spirit run our lives. Put on the new man. Let the new man be in control and not the old man. The old man just wants to sin. The old man just wants to ruin our testimony. The old man wants to serve the flesh and serve the devil. The new man, that's Jesus in the person of the Holy Spirit who has moved in. And if we will yield to Him, we'll take control and guide our lives. Look at Romans chapter 6. We'll see that word yield. It means to give way. Down in verse 11 of Romans chapter 6. It says, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. So there it is again. The old man, he's dead. Isn't it amazing how much time we waste listening to a dead man? Seriously. He's constantly giving us trouble, constantly whispering in our ear, constantly telling us to do this and do that. And he's dead. Stop listening to him. Get rid of him. It says, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Verse 12, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Verse 13, neither yield ye. See that word yield? That means give control. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God. As those that are alive from the dead. The old man's dead, the new man's alive. Amen. God says, cast that old man off. Stop listening to him. Cast off his deeds. Put on the new man. Get up every day. Put on the armor and put on Jesus. Yield to him. Give him control. So that's the second thing. Cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor and the new man. What's the third thing? Verse 14. Of our passage, Romans chapter 13, verse 14, make not provision for the flesh. Now we know that God has commanded us to have what he calls temperance, right? Which is self-control. That's what this is. Make not provision for the flesh. What does provision mean? It means to plan ahead, doesn't it? People, some people want to stock up provisions because the end of the world is coming and so forth. God says, make not provision for the flesh. Practice self-control now that you're walking in the new man. Don't even think about planning ahead for the flesh. Now, this is what the devil wants us to do, right? He wants us to think ahead about the next opportunity that we have to sin. And to put ourselves in a position so that we can sin and then say, well, God's going to forgive me anyway. It's one of the tricks of the devil, isn't it? But Paul, if you go to 1 Corinthians 9:27, Paul understood this. And that's why he said that every day he died, because every day he had to put his body under subjection. Look what he says here in 1 Corinthians 9:27. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. That takes conscious effort and work, doesn't it? To say, no, I'm not listening to the old man. I'm not listening to the flesh. I'm going to bring it into subjection. Look what he says. Lest that by any means, when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. And then look at James 1:12, if you would. Yeah, James 1:12. Look what it says. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. Now, if you're alive and breathing and a Christian, you face temptation every day. What does God say we should do in verse 2? Count it all joy. Amen? When you fall into divers temptations. But down in verse 12, he says, blessed is the man. It doesn't say blessed is the man that doesn't have temptation, because that man doesn't exist. It says blessed is the man that endureth temptation. Amen. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Here's the process that leads to listening to the old man. Verse 13, let no man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. God does not tempt us with sin. Now, God allows us to be tempted with sin, but God does not tempt us himself. And look what it says. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. There's the process that leads to the provision. This process of drawn away of our lust enticed. Then when that is conceived, it brings forth sin and so forth. God says, cast it out. Romans 13:14, make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. We're all going to face temptation, but God says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man, but God is faithful. Amen? 1 Corinthians 10:13. Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape. So God's already promised us that we don't have to give in. We don't have to listen to the old man. We need to put on the armor and we need to put on Jesus. And make not provision for the flesh. It is a battle. Look at 1 Peter 2:11 that we are going to face every day. So it would be wonderful if we could have a church service and we could go to the altar and say, Lord, from today forward, I'm only going to walk in the Spirit. Wouldn't that be nice? And then we just walked in the Spirit from then on. That'd be awesome. Doesn't work that way. Because you're going to get up tomorrow and that old man's going to say, yeah, well, whatever. New day. Here's your new temptation. Got to cast him off. Amen. 1 Peter 2:11. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. There's one of the wars we are fighting every day. A war against our soul. And who is waging this war? That old man. So he's not only dead, but he's also trouble. Amen. And every day he says, you know, I'm not happy that you crucified me. So I'm going to do my best to make today miserable. And I'm going to keep warring against your soul. God says, no, make not provision. Make not provision. Plan ahead every day. Jesus is coming soon. So every day, I'm casting off the works of darkness. Every day, I'm putting on that armor, the armor of light. Every day, I'm putting on Jesus. I'm going to walk in the Spirit so I won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. And every time that old man tries to wage war against my soul, I'm just going to remind him he's dead. Dead people shouldn't be talking. Amen? Don't make provision for the flesh. Oftentimes, like we saw there in James chapter 1, when we sin, it's not an instantaneous thing, is it? We actually were subconsciously making provision for that sin. We were planning ahead. We were simultaneously trying to serve God, but we were also thinking ahead and making provision for the flesh. God says, don't do it. So, Jesus is coming soon. Therefore, what should we do? Just three things. Cast off the old man, the works of darkness. Put on the armor. Put on Jesus. And lastly, make not provision for the flesh. This is one of the devil's tricks, is that we plan ahead to sin. We're very good at deceiving ourselves, aren't we? Self-deception is an amazing thing. It just reminds us how sinful we really are. Make not provision for the flesh. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. This simple reminder today, Lord, that the old man is dead. We need to stop listening to him. We need to cast off his works, cast off that old man, put on the armor, put on Jesus, and stop making provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. May that become reality for us every day, Lord. May we walk in the Spirit that we might not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Please give us your help in this. And may we commit ourselves to doing what we need to do.